हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भम् व्यासशङ्करम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः दिस् चाप्टर् इट् सेल्फ् Dvaita Viveka Prakaranam. There is Ishwara Srishta Dvaitam and Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. The duality, which is manifestation of Ishwara, is said to be the creation of Ishwara. And this duality, which is creation of Jiva, projection of an individual's mind. So we say duality is the cause of the perception of duality being mistaken as reality is the cause of samsara. See, duality, they say, why are we interested in Advaita Jnana? We are interested in Advaita Jnanam because knowledge of the clear vision of non-duality of the reality is the means of discovering freedom. So the whole effort of discovering the non-duality of reality, the whole effort in this is to discover the reality and to arrive at the fact that reality is non-dual is to discover the freedom which is already there as our own Swarupa. So why do we need this Advaita Darshanam? Because in perception of duality, there is bondage. Because dvaitam samsara karanam, advaitam moksha sadhanam. Advaita darshanam moksha sadhanam, dvaita darshanam samsara karanam. So, dvaita darshanam itself is not the cause of samsara. Definitely, Dvaita Darshanam is not the cause of samsara. When you mistake the Dvaita Darshanam for reality, this perception of duality itself is not responsible for samsara. When you mistake this duality which is perceived as reality, then it is cause of samsara. Because we cannot undo the duality. We need not undo the duality. We can only cognitively resolve the duality as mithya. Duality cannot be destroyed. Duality cannot be given up. We cannot undo duality. Why? Because duality is natural. It is very natural for the duality to be there. But duality is not real, absolutely real. So, duality is not created, therefore it cannot be destroyed. There is no creation of duality, there is no destruction of duality possible. But duality is mithya. There is perception of duality and the duality comes and goes. This perception of duality is possible in non-dual reality. So duality is not responsible for samsara. But when we mistake the duality, which is mithya, to be satyam, mistaking the mithya duality to be satyam is responsible for samsara, is the cause of samsara. Therefore, mithya, duality has to be understood. What is this duality? Duality is mithya, is the fact about duality. This fact about duality, the dvaitam mithya, should be understood. And to understand the mithyatvam of duality, the duality is mithya, we need to understand what is absolutely real. So, satya darshanam is for understanding duality being mithya. That's why in the wake of the clear vision of non-dual reality, the duality being mithya will become very clear. Then samsara also will resolve. We can only cognitively resolve mithya duality in non-dual satyam. We cannot undo the duality. But here Shastram talks about Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam and Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. So Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is not at all responsible for samsara. Samsara is caused by Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. And this Jiva Srishta Dvaitam is purely based on the erroneous perception of the self and the world, and therefore the error in the perception has to be corrected for resolving the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, and for correcting the error in the perception of perception, naturally one needs to have the clear vision of the reality obtaining as one's own Swarup. That's why knowledge has been emphasized as the only means of attainment of moksha. Jnana deva kaivalyam. Jnanam is the only means for attainment of moksha. Repeatedly this fact is said. That is why knowledge is emphasized, because clear vision of the non-duality of the reality will help us resolve the mithya dvaitam. Thereby one can free oneself from bondage. Now, what is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam? Before that, here in these verses, how the process of knowledge was discussed in the previous verse. How knowledge takes place. When does the world appear for us? If you fall asleep, I'm repeating all these things to make a lot of things clear. If you fall asleep, in sleep, we are all very much there. Every individual is there very much in sleep. Nothing happens to you when you are fast asleep. The very fact that nothing happens to you helps you even fall asleep. Sleep is something is going to happen in sleep. If you know, then you will not even sleep. You try to keep awake. Uncontrollably sleep takes over and you fall asleep. In sleep, you are very much there. You are very much there. This is how Shastram addresses. In deep sleep state, you are very much there. You are addressed by Shastram. And you are very much there. You are safe. You are comfortable. You are secure. There's no harm. Nothing, no harm happens. Nothing harms you. Nothing happens to you. Again, you wake up from sleep. When you waking up from sleep means the perception of duality begins. In sleep, there is experience of non-duality, which means there's non-dual experience in deep sleep state. There is no vision of duality in sleep, but there is experience of this non-dual experience in sleep. That experience of duality in sleep. In waking state, there is perception of duality. In deep sleep state, there is non-dual experience. Advaita anubhavaha. I'm repeating it. Advaita anubhavaha. Advaita anubhavaha is there in sleep. We must understand this. What is Advaita anubhavaha? So that we will not crave for Advaita anubhava. Our aim is to have Advaita darshanam, not Advaita anubhavaha. Our aim is to have the vision of non-duality of reality or vision of non-dual reality. We are not interested in non-dual experience. What is non-dual experience? To have the non-dual experience, all that we need to do is we need to fall asleep. In samadhi also such experience is possible. After death, until you are born, assuming a new body, this non-dual experience is possible. After Mahapralaya, the dissolution takes place before the Srishti, non-dual experience is possible. But you cannot recollect. But it is possible for us to understand what is non-dual experience just by analyzing your own deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, you are there not knowing your own existence. And you are there not knowing the existence of the world. It is not knowing your own existence, not knowing the existence of the world is, in fact, total ignorance. Not knowing existence of one's own self, not knowing the existence of the world is otherwise said to be avidya, total ignorance. And there is total ignorance in deep sleep state. In fact, total ignorance is called deep sleep state. We could not say when you are fast asleep, there is total ignorance. Whenever there is total ignorance, that is called deep sleep state. So when there is total ignorance, then there is no knower known duality. So whenever there is total ignorance, there is no knower known duality. Experiencer experienced duality is not there. Even though there is knower, even though there is experiencer, even though there is experienced total ignorance, still duality is not there. Because the knower is not knowing existence of the knower. Therefore, the knower is as good as not there. Therefore, we can say the knower is there, of course, but still the knower known duality is not there. Why there is no knower known duality in deep sleep state? Because the knower, you are not knowing your own existence. You are there not knowing the existence of the world. And I said this is called total ignorance. And is total, whenever there is total ignorance, it is deep sleep state. Then there is knower known duality is not there. And then the experience that is possible in total ignorance is said to be Advaita Anubhavaha. The Advaita Anubhavaha. So whenever, even in Advaita Anubhavaha, then there is no pain. There is no experience of pain or pleasure. there's no experience of pairs of opposites. Advaita anubhavaha is there. Total ignorance is there. Means knower known duality is not there. Knower known duality is not there. Means dvaita anubhavaha is not there. Dvaita anubhavaha is not there. Means advaita anubhavaha is there. Advaita anubhavaha is there. Experience of non-duality is there means there is no experience of pairs of opposites. There's no experience of pairs of opposites. So even in, when we have non-dual experience, there is temporary sukham which is called bliss. So to have the experience of bliss, I told you already, absence of experience of pairs of opposites is experience of bliss. An experience of bliss is possible if there's experience of non-duality. Experience of non-duality is there means there is total ignorance. That is why total ignorance is bliss. So when is then perception of duality possible? So for perception, there must be perception for the duality to be there. And for the perception to be there and thereby duality to be there, knower known division to be there. Knower known division must be there. Experiencer experienced division must be there. Only then we can say there is perception and experience of duality possible. For the knower known duality to be there, the mind must be functional. The mind is non-functional, passive, inactive, then perception of duality is not possible. Dvaita anubhavaha is not possible. So anubhavaha, experience, it is not vision of the fact. So in total ignorance you have advaita anubhavaha. In partial knowledge you have dvaita anubhavaha. In partial knowledge, you have dvaita anubhavaha. What is partial knowledge? When there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, which is the first and the foremost of all so forms, all cognitions which rise in the mind. It is the first cognition. What is that first cognition? The first knowledge which rises, which takes place in the mind of every individual human being. The first and the foremost of the cognitions, the first knowledge which takes place in the mind is the knowledge of the existence of the self. In terms of I, then am. I am. And this cognition is, means then there is knower is. There's manifestation of knower, which means the knower status. The knower status, one can have knower status. I, the self, am the knower. I am the knower. There must be manifestation of knowledge of existence, the self, in terms of I am, then the knower status is possible. I am must be there to know I am the knower. Once I am, the knowledge is possible, then alone, the knowledge of the existence of the world is possible in terms of the world is. The knowledge of the existence of the world is in terms of the world is, then there is no knowledge of the known. There is knowledge of the existence of the self is actually knowledge of the existence of the knower. Knowledge of the existence of the world is knowledge of the existence of the known. I'm repeating it. Knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am is the knowledge of the existence of the knower. Knowledge of the existence of the self is followed by the knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. So I am is knowledge. The world is knowledge. I am is knowledge of the existence of the self is actually the knowledge of the existence of the knower. The knowledge that the world is the knowledge of the existence of the known. When there is knowledge of the existence of the knower and the known, I'm repeating it. When there is knowledge of the existence of the knower and the known, then there is dvaita anubhavaha, experience of duality. If this knowledge of the existence, the self and the world is not there, we call total ignorance. In total ignorance, there is advaita anubhavaha. In partial knowledge, there is dvaita anubhavaha. This anubhava is very natural. We need not undo this at all. But this dvaita anubhavaha, which is possible when there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self and the knowledge of the existence of the world, when there is knowledge of the existence of the knower and the known, then there is experience of duality, dvaita anubhavaha is there. But this dvaita anubhavaha is because of the manifestation of knowledge. Manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self and manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the world. Therefore, dvaita anubhavaha is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge. I'm repeating this. This much details are not all given anywhere. We just only took so much of time to understand, explain everything. So dvaita anubhavaha, experience of duality, is dependent on manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the knower and the known. Which means there must be manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self and there must be knowledge of the manifestation of the existence of the world. There must be knowledge of the existence of the self. There must be knowledge of the existence of the world, which is manifest knowledge. So without the manifestation of knowledge, there cannot be dvaita anubhava. That's what I wanted to understand. Dvaitam. So manifestation of knowledge is looked upon as Ishvara. Knowledge manifest is looked upon as Ishvara. That's why if knowledge is manifest, then there's perception of duality, then the world enjoys the status of being existent. when does the world enjoy the status of being existent? Only when there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the world enjoys the status of being existent. The world is always there, but the world loses its status of being existent when there is no manifestation of knowledge. For the knowledge to become manifest, there must be rising of thoughts. Thoughts must rise. For the thoughts to rise, the mind must be functional. So mind must be functional. Thoughts should rise. Only then manifestation of knowledge is possible. If manifestation of knowledge is possible, only then knower known duality experience is possible. Only then the world enjoys the status of being the existent. Otherwise, the world will lose its status of being existent. This is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. How? So then how do the thoughts rise? That is process of what we'll see again later on. But I want to understand the basic teaching here. This is the very, very basic kindergarten lesson. We need to understand what is Dvaita Anubhavaha, what is Advaita Anubhavaha. So Swamiji used to say, we need not make any efforts at all. We need not study Vedanta to understand, not to have Dvaita Anubhava. We need not study Vedanta to have Advaita Anubhava. Shastra Adhyayanam is not for any Anubhava. Any Anubhava, any experience is subject to time. Dvaita Anubhava is subject to time. Experience of duality is subject to time. Experience of non-duality is also subject to time. Non-dual experience is also subject to time. Then what is that which is not subject to time? The non-dual reality alone is not subject to time. What is non-dual reality? The reality which is free from the status of being the knower and the known. There cannot be knower without the manifestation of knowledge. The knowledge has to become manifest, only the knower status is possible. The knowledge has to become manifest, only then the known is possible. The knower known duality is possible. Therefore, the manifestation involves duality. But the source of manifestation, the reality, the abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, without which manifestation of knowledge is not possible at all. The source of manifestation is the reality, which is neither the knower nor the known. Without the reality, there cannot be knower. Without the reality, there cannot be the known. But reality is neither the knower nor the known. Reality is distinct from subject of knowledge and object of knowledge. Reality is distinct, is neither the knower nor the known. Neither the subject nor the object. Even though we arrive at the reality as the surupam of the knower, but reality from the standpoint of consciousness, the reality, we need to understand the fact the consciousness, the reality is not the knower, is not the known, but the knower is definitely reality. The known also is nothing but the reality. We arrive at the reality as the surupam of the knower, then we understand the known also is non-different from reality. And that reality is free from duality. Dvaita rahitam sadvastu. Is reality the knower? No. Is reality the known? No. Who's the knower? What is the knower? The reality. What is the known? The known is the reality. There cannot be known or knower or the known outside of the reality without the reality. That is why we say the reality which is the non-dual reality, which is distinct from the knower and the known, which is neither the knower nor the known, without which knower known duality is not possible at all, that reality is non-dual reality, is satyam, the absolute reality. This knower known duality is mithya, empirically real. Duality is empirically real, relatively real. It is not unreal. Duality is not unreal, but is not absolutely real, but empirically, relatively real. Empirically real, relatively real, objectively real means it is mithya. It is not unreal. Because we do have experience. So advaita anubhavaha is mithya, dvaita anubhavaha is mithya, but advaitam vastu, the non-dual reality alone is satyam. This is very important to understand. Is it clear? Does it make sense for you? It's very, very important. In between, I was just little, my words went here and there. I knew where I made mistakes. Not mistakes, I was a little distracted by something here. But I want it to be very clear about it. So in partial knowledge, there is duality is possible. But this dvaita anubhavaha, this experience of duality, which is false, whenever there is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self and the world, when there is knower known duality, when this first experience of duality, which is mithya, the knowledge is only partially manifest. So what happens when the knowledge is manifest totally? What is total manifestation of knowledge? If we understand the source of manifestation, what is this knowledge of the existence of the self? What is this manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am? What is this manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is? What is this knowledge? What is this manifestation of knowledge? What is this manifest knowledge? It is not always the very, very expression manifest knowledge may tells you. This manifest knowledge is not there always. There is a time, there is no manifestation of knowledge. Whenever there is no manifestation of knowledge, then there is total ignorance. When there is total ignorance, the duality, the experience of duality resolves. Dvaita anubhavaha resolves. When the ignorance is total, dvaita anubhavaha resolves. Knower known duality is not there. The world also loses its status of being existent. the known loses its status of being existent. Even the knower loses the status of being the knower. Knower loses the status of being the knower. The known loses the status of being the known. Therefore, there is nothing. Then again, Advaita Anubhava. So Advaita Anubhavaha, Dvaita Anubhavaha is nothing. Ignorance is total Advaita Anubhavaha. Knowledge is partial knowledge and partial ignorance. There is Dvaita Anubhavaha. If the knowledge is partial, this Dvaita Anubhavaha, which is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, will also result in Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. Duality created by Jiva because of the wrong perception. So to resolve the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, the duality, creation of individual, one's own, which is subjectively real. Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is empirically real. But Jiva Srishta Dvaitam, the duality created by Jiva, is subjectively real. There is nothing unreal. Okay? We do not talk about unreal at all. What about the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam? Jiva Srishta Dvaitam is subjectively real. Absolutely unreal. Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam is empirically real, objectively real, relatively real. And the source of duality is non-dual reality, which alone is absolutely real. And for which, how to arrive at the source of the absolute, source of the manifestation. So when we discover the truth of this manifestation of knowledge, the source of manifestation, what is that? Because of the presence of which manifestation of knowledge is possible, the source of manifestation, we discover the knowledge becomes complete. This partial knowledge becomes complete knowledge when we discover the source of manifestation. So the partial knowledge is actual, effortless. Being born a human being is enough to have the partial knowledge, which is manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self and the world. If this partial knowledge has to become total knowledge, then the effort is, initiative is required on the part of the individual human being. How to convert the partial knowledge into total knowledge? Understand this partial knowledge is manifestation of knowledge which comes and goes. If we discover the source of manifestation which does not come and go, then knowledge becomes total. Is it clear? And to discover the source of manifestation, discovering the source of manifestation is discovering the Swarupam of knowledge. Swarupam of the manifest knowledge. The truth of manifest knowledge. Which will convert your partial into total knowledge. In total knowledge, we have the knowledge of the non-duality of the reality. in a clear vision of the non-dual reality, we understand this duality being mithya, then the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam will resolve in Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam will resolve in Advaitam Brahma. Then there is Moksha. Is it clear? I'm sure it's clear. If it is not clear, don't worry, I'll continue again. I will be repeating it. That is my job, isn't it? We don't need to understand too much. There are few things, few concepts we need to understand very clearly. Either we understand or we don't understand. If we understand, well and good. If we don't understand, no worry, we'll try to understand again. As long as we don't misunderstand, we are safe. This is what Swamiji used to say. As tappa punjikarana paravallappa. Even if you don't understand, well and good, I can take care of you. You misunderstand, it is a lot of work. Erasing the misunderstanding, wrong understanding is the problem. If you don't understand, it's very good. We can definitely make you understand. It's a question of time. We'll repeat. Now you know what is Purnam Jnanam. What is Purna Vidya? It's not that we should go and do PhD in every department, every subject matter and go and penetrate into what is this, what is this, what is this. No, not necessary. That will give you the detailed knowledge of very small, a little thing. And this life is not enough. Span of life is not enough. To understand the whole world, what is within the realm of the known, that lifespan is not enough. It's all knowledge of the mithya. Knowledge of anything in the world is what? Knowledge of the mithya only. But knowing the source of knowledge is what is that without which no knowledge is possible at all. What is the source of manifestation of knowledge? Discover that there is the knowledge of the satyam. Knowledge of the reality. Not knowledge of the mithya, but knowledge of the satyam, which is moksha. Therefore here, in this particular chapter, Vidyaranya Swami especially made very clear, he wanted us to understand what is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam and what is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. Because what causes the bondage? It is the duality. It's not the duality which causes the bondage. Mistaking the duality, mithya duality for satyam is the cause of bondage. We mistake the mithya duality for satyam. We take this duality as real. It is not real. It is what is empirically real is mistaken to be absolutely real, which means there is error in the perception of this duality. How real is this? Perception of duality is not a problem. That's life. But we mistake it for real, that is what is bondage. That is why the whole samsara is because of the erroneous perception. So the error needs to be corrected. For that, you need to understand the mithya duality to be mithya. If we have to understand the mithya duality to be mithya, not to take it as satyam, then we must know what is satyam. That is why knowledge is emphasized. Okay. So for now, that's what is Vidyaranya Swami doing here in this whole section. And last class we saw how knowledge takes place. So there must be, mind must be functional. The thoughts must arise, but the mind itself, mind with the resolved thoughts or risen thoughts, is inert, subtlest matter. Therefore, it is of the nature of inertness. The mind with the resolved thoughts or the risen thoughts is dependent on satyam for its very existence. For it to become conscious, for it to become sentient, for it to become functional. So mind does not have independent existence at all. Whether it has thoughts, resolved thoughts, whether thoughts of the mind have risen or resolved, the mind is always mithya. We need to understand this fact. Mithya doesn't have independent existence of its own, and it is of the nature of inertness. And but this mind becomes conscious and sentient because of its closest proximity, because of its manic consciousness. Therefore, say consciousness is satyam, mind is mithya. But this mind, because of its subtleness, because of extreme subtleness, even though it is matter, it is capable of manifesting consciousness. Therefore, it is capable of becoming conscious and sentient. Even though mind with its thoughts dependent on consciousness for its very existence, mind is manifesting medium for consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is dependent on the mind for its manifestation, not for existence, but for its manifestation. Manifestation means what? For the consciousness to become recognized. For the recognizability, consciousness is dependent on the mind. That is why when the thoughts rise, and what is the thought? What is the thought which rises first? Aham vrittihi. The thought rises. And the thought rises, consciousness which is already there becomes manifest. The thought which is there serves as a manifesting medium. Aham vrittihi. Then rises what? All other vrittis. The vrittis, vritti which is the five sense organs. The vrittis pertaining to five different sense organs. That is why we don't have a sixth sense organ. Because there are only five different vrittis rise. Different vrittis, and each vritti, like first knowledge of the existence of the self, then when I say knowledge of the existence of the world, when I say that presupposes five types of vrittis at rise, simultaneous. And when I'm teaching, it looks as though it takes time, but simultaneously vrittis arise. The vrittis which illumine the sense powers. The vritti when rises, it is not a inert vritti. In vritti by itself is inert by because of the presence of consciousness. It's a conscious vritti, conscious thought. So the thought which illumines the seeing power, thought which illumines the hearing power, thought which illumines his corresponding sense power. So fivefold vrittis. That what names are given as netra vrittihi, shrotra vrittihi, rasana vrittihi, grana vrittihi, twag vrittihi. So all these vrittis, what do they do? These conscious thoughts, when they rise, when they illumine the sense powers, illumine means what? Along with the thoughts, all sense powers become conscious and sentient because the rising of vrittis. Then we call those vrittis as pramana vrittis. Pramana vrittis means they serve as instruments of knowledge, because these vrittis have to rise first before any knowledge of the external object to take place. Vrittis must rise, because knowledge has to take place only in the mind, in the mind of a thought. They say knowledge or cognition, it involves two factors. One is vritti and consciousness. If I say in some opaque, the chair is, means along with the chair, what is inseparably, there is the light. If I say table is, the table involves what? Opaque table, inseparably with the light. Similarly, when you say any cognition is, means there is thought with the consciousness. A thought minus consciousness will be as good as non-existent. Consciousness minus thought will be non-recognizable. Therefore, thought serves as the manifesting medium for consciousness. Consciousness lends existence for the very thought. Therefore, cognition involves two factors. How perception of opaque thing involves opaque thing plus light. Cognition involves two factors, thought and consciousness. They're inseparable. So cognition means consciousness with the thought. Knowledge means consciousness with the thought. So knowledge with the thought is manifest knowledge. Knowledge without thought is pure knowledge. So pure knowledge is non-recognizable and manifest knowledge is recognizable. That's why consciousness is dependent on thought for its manifestation, for its recognizability. Now these thoughts, through the sense organs, in the external world of objects, the thoughts do not rise. Sense powers are non-functional. The external world is covered in darkness of ignorance. The external world remains covered in darkness of ignorance. The world is as not known. The world is as good as non-existent. For the world to shine, the external world of objects to shine, for the world to have the status of being existent, it must become the known. For it to become the known, the world needs to be illumined. There must be vrittis. That is why vrittis go out through sense organs. Means when I say, we don't think somebody walking outside the house from inside. It's not like that. Very subtle. So the illumine, when the thought reaches the object, it is the pramana vrittihi. The thought, as a conscious thought, pervades the object. Then it is prameya vrittihi. Oh, there is something. Prameya vritti. Prameya vritti means what? The thought which spreads over the conscious thought, which rises in the mind, is pramana vritti, which travels through sense organs, which pervades the object, is called prameya vritti. The same thought comes back. No, then there is light, there is sound, there is a bird singing. The knowledge takes place. The knowledge is what? We say, Jnanam. When the knowledge takes place, then we can say, Pramatru Vritti. I know this is. Same just a thought. We don't have so many thoughts like Pramatru Vritti, Pramana Vritti, and Prameya Vritti. No. Vrittis are given different status, titles. When in keeping it where they are, how they are. And this is the process of knowledge. I'll be discussing this process of knowledge again in detail. But time being, I want to go back to the very basic lesson today. It took very long for me to explain the basic lesson. When is duality? When is non-dual experience? When is experience of duality? See, any experience is mithya. Non-dual experience is mithya. Experience of duality is mithya. There's no such a thing called permanent experience, because any experience is time bound. That is why we repeatedly say in Vedanta, we are not at all interested in experience. Don't ever crave for spiritual experience. There's no spiritual experience or worldly experience. Any experience is time bound. We are interested in timeless freedom. We are not interested in time-bound experience at all. For timeless freedom, we need the clear vision of what I am essentially. And to have the clear vision of what I am essentially is actually clear vision of the source of knowledge, which is the reality, clear vision of reality. Vision of, in the wake of the clear vision of reality, we understand the fact that reality is non-dual. Reality is non-dual means reality is neither the knower nor the known. It is the source, the truth of the knower and the known, without which knower known experience is not possible. But the reality by itself is neither the knower nor the known. It is the truth of both knower and the known. It is one non-dual, secondless reality. What we are interested in is the vision of non-dual reality. We are not interested in non-dual experience. That is why samadhi experience is not at all recommended in Vedanta Shastra. Not at all recommended in Vedanta Shastra. We never encourage that. Swamiji used to say many times, if you want samadhi experience, better fall asleep enough. You fall asleep and you will have the experience what you have in samadhi. We need to understand samadhi also in the light of Vedantic teaching later on. Okay. So that's what we saw in the last class. In the today's class, I'm going to summarize the whole teaching, whole lesson again, because today I wanted to give a basic lesson. I know where we go wrong. I think, was it useful for you? Have you understood today? Okay. That's good. Because, anyway. Now, let me tell you this. Now, let's see the 31st verse. Sat. Kevam vishayau dvaustoh. Satyevam vishayau dvaustoh. Ghatau mrinmaya dhimayau. Ghatau mrinmaya dhimayau. மிருண்மயோ மானமேயஸ்யாத் மிருண்மயோ மானமேயஸ்யாத் சாட்சி பாஸ்யஸ்து தீமயஹ சத்யேவம் விஷயோ த்வௌ ஸ்தஹ கடௌ மிருண்மய தீமயௌ மிருண்மயோ மானமேயஸ்யாத் சாட்சி பாஸ்யஸ்து தீமயஹ. நவ் when we experience the external world of objects, do we experience the external world directly, or do we experience the world of thoughts directly? That is the question. Where do we experience the world? Where does experience take place? Where is the world? Where does experience take place? Where does experience take place? Where does the world exist? Does the world exist outside of us? Our world exists inside us. In fact, the world is us. Where does the world exist? We think world exists outside. We talk about external world. We talk about the external world. Actually speaking, the world is not external. The world is neither internal. The world is us. The whole world we are interacting with is in our mind. The entire world of objects we are interacting with is in our mind. We have nothing to do with the external world. The thoughts go out, thoughts illumine, the cognition takes place in the mind. If there is part outside and there must be a corresponding part thought in the mind. If there is chair outside, there must be corresponding chair thought in the mind. If there is donkey outside, there must be corresponding donkey thought in the mind. If there's monkey outside, there must be corresponding monkey thought in the mind. If there is cow outside, there must be corresponding cow cognition in the mind. It's very important. Without the corresponding respective cognition, the external object is as good as non-existent. If there is no cognition in the mind, there is no object outside. Even if the object is outside, the object is as good as non-existent for you. That is why we always say existence presupposes knowledge. You can only see what you have in your mind outside. No, what you have in the mind alone you can see outside. Know that? You do not see what is outside. What you have in the mind alone you can see outside. The problem is we think we are seeing what is outside. That's not true. So for any object to be outside, there must be corresponding cognition in the mind. Cow cognition is there, then there is cow outside. Pot cognition is there, then pot is outside. So existence of anything external presupposes the existence of the knowledge first, cognition first. And the cognition presupposes what? thought must rise. But even the thought is not enough. There must be consciousness. The swarupam of every thought is consciousness. The consciousness is one, thoughts are many. Therefore, cognitions are many. So the plurality of cognitions is because of plurality of thoughts. Like how light is one, but opaque thought, things which shine in the light are many. Chair, table, wall, door, etc. Opaque things are many, light is one. Like the thoughts are many. Cognitions are many because thoughts are many. But the consciousness is one. So cognitions must be there. That's why existence presupposes knowledge. And the knowledge is possible only because of the source of knowledge, which is pure knowledge or pure consciousness. Now, when the thought rises, through the corresponding given thought, through the given sense organ, spreads over the given object, illumines the given object means there are two objects. Part is means part thought is, part cognition is, then outside there is a part. What is the example he gives here? Vidyanand Swami gives an example. Part is means the two parts. One part is made of clay. The clay part which is externally there, and the clay part cognized. And there is a thought part cognition in the mind. There is a part in the form of a thought in your mind. Part cognition and part outside. So the part in the form of a thought and a part made of clay outside. And the clay part which is external is illumined by the thought, the cognition, whereas the cognition itself is illumined by consciousness, the witness consciousness. External part is illumined by the thought, the cognition, and the cognition is illumined by witness consciousness. Therefore, the whole world experiencing is not outside. It's all in your mind. Where does the world exist? The world exists in your mind in the form of cognitions. I'll make it much clearer again. Don't worry. I'm just reading this verse now. Satyevam vishayo dvostaha. You break it. Sati evam satyevam. Sati evam satyevam. Sati evam satyevam. Sati means, sati is a locative case of sat. Locative case, sat means what? Sati saptami. Such being the case. You want to say such being the case. Sati evam in this manner. This is how things are. This is how the experience of the world is. This is how experience of the world is means there is a cognition and cognition of corresponding external object. Without the cognition of any corresponding object, the knowledge of that object is not at all possible. I mean, the existence of the top object is not at all possible. So, evam sati, such being the case, dvau vishayau staha, vishayaha means object, dvau vishayau staha, there are two objects, dvau vishayau staha, ekaha vishayaha asti, dvau vishayau staha, there are two objects of not, two objects. What are two objects? You may be wondering. Ghatau. Suppose he gives example of pot. Dvau ghatau vishayau staha. There are two pots which are objects of knowledge. There are two objects of knowledge. Two pots. Both are objects of knowledge. How? Who is the illuminator of which? The two illuminators here. We have relative illuminator and we have absolute illuminator. Relative illuminator. So external object is illumined by the mind, which is the thought, the relative illuminator. And the thought is illumined by consciousness, the absolute illuminator. So he says, Mrinmaya dhimayo. Mrinmayaha manameyaha. Mrinmaya means the pot made of clay. The clay pot. The clay pot which is external to the sense organ. The clay pot which is external to the sense organ is illumined by the cognition. Whereas, manameha means illumined by the cognition. Pramanam, the thought. Whereas, Sakshi Bhasyaha tu Dhimayaha. The pot in the form of a thought, the pot in the form of a thought, Dhimayaha Ghataha. The cognized pot, thought, the cognized thought, pot, or pot cognition, in the form of a thought is illumined by Sakshi. Bhasyaha means is illumined. Thought, see, pot cognition is illumined by consciousness, whereas pot cognition illumines the clay pot outside. So external object is illumined by cognition. Cognition is illumined by consciousness. Thought illumines the external object. Thought is illumined by consciousness. That's why we say relative illuminator. Who illumines the external world? Mind illumines the external world. Mind is capable of illumining the external world because mind is illumined by consciousness. So that's why absolute illuminator is consciousness, whereas mind is the relative illuminator. So without the intermediate mind, there cannot be experience at all. So Sakshi Bhasyaha. Dhimayaha. Dhimayaha means the cognized pot is Dhimayaha Ghataha, or pot cognition or cognized pot is Dhimayaha. Pot obtaining in the form of a thought is illumined by Sakshi. சாட்சி பாஸ்யா தீமயா, வெரஸ் மிருண்மயா மானமேயக. மானம் ஹியர் இஸ் பிரமாணம், பிரமாணம் ஹியர் இஸ் தாட். The external clay pot is illumined by conscious thought, and conscious the thought is illumined by consciousness. சத்யேவம் விஷயோ த்வௌஸ்தஹ கடௌ மிருண்மய தீமயௌ. மிருண்மயோ மானமேயஹ ஸ்யாத் சாட்சி பாஷஸ்து தீமயஹ. So directly external world is not illumined by consciousness. Consciousness does not illumine the external world directly. Consciousness is conscious, absolutely illuminator is consciousness only, but still only through the mind consciousness illumines the world. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.